You are listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud, conversations about trauma and healing from two women who are doing the work.
Hey everyone, this is Candace and Cher with Processing Trauma Out Loud. Cher, we did an episode last week on triangulation. We talked about what is triangulation, what are the effects of triangulation, and we had planned to talk about how we heal, but we really wanted to dedicate a whole episode on how do we heal once we discover that we've been triangulated. And I want to emphasize, we usually do discover it. Can you share a little bit more, like how do we discover it and what is it like to discover it? What was it like for you?
Hard. Mm-hmm. I think on many fronts, it was just hard. In the conversation before the conversation, you mentioned the word loyalty. And I think this is part of what makes it so difficult is a child will feel loyalty really to both parents. But when we're triangulated, we might feel loyalty toward the person who triangulated us. We also might feel loyalty toward the other parent. So it's very complex and there's a lot of ambivalence. But I think the struggle with loyalty for me has been very, very difficult. In my childhood, my dad was the overt abuser, the openly hurtful one. The harm that came through my mom was much more subtle, much more covert, and very, very difficult for me to even recognize and even call it harm. For a long time, I defended her to the end. My dad was mean to her, and she didn't have power, and he had all the control. Coming to this place where I began to recognize that my mother played a much bigger role in my harm than I ever recognized was just a very, very difficult part of my journey.
I've been with you in these stories, and for a long time, you lived with this sense of that your mom was the victim.
Yeah. I remember in one of my stories, I talked about it was the statement that things were hard for my mom. And I remember the group coming back to me and saying, you know, I think maybe things were hard for you.
Yeah, I remember.
When those dynamics come together in story group, it almost can take your breath away.
Yep.
Because your brain has been set on one neural pathway that has been reinforced for many, many, many years that things were a certain way. And then when somebody else points out the data, and when it's done carefully and with tenderness in a way that we and our wounded places, our wounded parts can receive, I feel like I'm seeing things from a perspective that maybe is a little bit different than the perspective that you've been holding on to. Can I tell you what I see? It can take your breath away.
Yeah. Well, we're talking today about how do we heal from the effects of triangulation.
Yeah.
You and I both know we didn't show up telling our stories with, hey, I need help. I've been triangulated. We don't have clients who show up with us and say, hey, I've been triangulated and I don't know how to set boundaries. How can you help? One of the ways that we want to highlight as something that leads us into healing is slowly sharing the stories of harm with someone else, and you just named it, that can kindly and gently offer a different perspective. That doesn't mean, oh my gosh, you were triangulated. There is the responsibility to help lead them when you clearly see that, but it really is about a discovering. And it is painful because I've got several areas where I realized that I was believing something like it was the red letter gospel.
Yeah.
And then that different perspective, there is a transition period.
Yeah. And I'm just, as you're talking, I'm thinking a lot about attachment, Candace. And we've talked about attachment before, but We did not name this even, but triangulation can really cause attachment wounds where the child will have an anxious attachment or an avoidant attachment. And that can be very directly related, or a disorganized attachment, very much related to being triangulated. And I think one of the beautiful things about story group is that, in story coaching and trauma-informed care, is that what we needed growing up was a healthy attachment is actually called secure. When the child feels secure in who they are and in the relationship and in their place in the world, safe and secure and wanted and loved. And when I began to do story work and began to have the experience of people moving toward my places of my deepest vulnerability and my deepest shame, and I was offered care and kindness and gentleness and love, I began to develop a new style of relating with those people. I began to feel more secure. And then when there were ruptures and I could use my voice and name those ruptures, and then there was repair, then the attachment became even more secure. So one of the things that is so important in healing from triangulation is to be able to begin to develop relationships where the attachment with that person is actually secure, not perfect. Mm-hmm. Not that there will never be hurt, but where we have a voice and we have choice and there is mutuality.
Yeah. And I want to say where everyone is invited to set the boundaries that they need. It's invited. It's not avoided. There is beautiful permission to help protect one another's agency, along with the commitment to continue to build a secure attachment. These are called emotionally corrective experiences.
Yeah.
This is where the neuro pathway is changed. Yeah. I mean, this is the transformation to say, my little wounded places who have always lived in this story that developed a belief system in me is now consistently getting, and I'll use the word overridden, by relationships that teach and show me that I have agency, that I matter, that I'm not the only one who matters, but I do matter. Yeah. And oh my gosh, Sherry, I want this for everyone.
Yeah, me too. That's why we think story work is the bomb. Another thing I want to bring up too, Candace, that's coming to my mind is I was very much involved in church groups, Bible study groups, small groups, you know, for decades. And a lot of them were very positive. They really were. But one of the things that I experienced was that there were a lot of triangles within these groups. The dynamics that happened in group were often discussed and processed by two people on the side, rather than being able to come back together and talk about the rupture or the things that were said or done that were bothersome. People would go to another person in the group and talk about it. So when I became a part of a story group, and it was very much talked about from the beginning that you can have relationships with each other out of group. We're not saying that, but anything that pertains to the group, bring it to the group. Mm-hmm. And that felt really awkward to me at first. And I remember once, and we've kind of talked about this in a previous episode, but one week when I felt really missed, that I had shared my story, the conversation went toward a topic that really wasn't where my heart was. And I felt really missed. And I had told our leader, I felt really missed today, and I'm really struggling with that. And she invited me to bring my voice back to the group. She didn't allow me to triangulate her. She invited me to bring it back to the group. And I said, oh no, I can't bring it to the group. And so we explored that, and she asked me why. And I said, well, if I bring it to the group, they will decide that I'm not worth it. Like, I am too much, that, you know, why can't Cher just be okay with, you know, the process and everybody else is fine, but Cher, blah, 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 right? I honestly felt like if I bring this to the group, it won't be long before I will not be a valued part of the group. And she, I just remember her words. She said, you are welcomed at the table and your voice matters. And it was a little agony for me as I waited then several days until our group met again. But I decided, okay, I'm going to bring it to the group. It became something that was processed together as a group, not me going and triangulating it. This is what I have experienced in story group exclusively. Like, I have not experienced triangulating relationships in the groups that I've been a part of. Not to say that it isn't possible, but I loved that we were given the guidance and given the, like, this is a boundary. We signed a covenant. And this was one of the aspects of the covenant was what happens in group, keep things that you need to talk about pertaining to the group, bring it back to the group. And that doesn't typically happen in a family where triangulation is happening. It doesn't. But if we want to heal, it's important to recognize that we are welcomed at the table and our voice matters.
Yeah. Ugh, that's so beautiful, Cher. I won't share my experience, but I had a very similar experience where the facilitator invited me to come back to the group. And, you know, I want to say that you and I both have been in multiple groups over many decades. And as you named, there's been goodness. But one thing that I can also say is as long as there was always agreement, there were no ruptures.
Yeah.
My growth was stunted in the sense that I could only feel safe if everybody agreed. This new way of going through the tension of working through ruptures took that part and really matured it. You know, I'm just going to say this. In church, we often talk about maturing, growing. This is bold, and I'm not blaming anyone. But I'm just going to say there's an aspect of those groups that actually kept me stuck. I am not even blaming anyone, but I needed a facilitator who understood trauma, understood triangulation, understood rupture, understood repair, and really would not let me off the hook. Now, I still got to choose. She didn't demand that I came back.
Yep.
But her wording and the way she handled it with me was like, oh. Okay, well, I can either go into fearful avoidant and get the hell out of here and say, y'all have fun doing what you do, I'm out, or I can grow.
For our listeners who have experienced harm in groups and maybe have even made a vow, I will never be a part of a group again, or I will never share my heart in a group again. Harm in groups does a lot to reinforce hiding, pretending, and performing. And we can show up week after week and we can look like everything is okay and we can be hurting so deeply inside. And so I want to just say to our listeners who have experienced harm in groups and have maybe made a vow, I want to issue the invitation to reconsider, to think about the possibility of signing up for a group. And I will just throw out www.sowthat.com. There are other places that we can recommend as well, but sowthat.com, that the groups there are amazing and bring healing. You and I both have experienced tremendous healing. So I want to just invite, reconsider and come back, explore. If you feel at all drawn toward doing a story group, like I will say, take the risk, reach out, do it. You have said to Candace, and I agree, sometimes we need one-to-one before we're ready for a group. And yes, we also support that, of course. Maybe you're not ready for a group, and maybe one-to-one coaching is a step before that. So yeah, you have choice.
I sometimes do this to you at the end, but I have another topic popping up. We can talk whether we want to do it or not, but I'm sitting here thinking triangulation happens in organizations.
Mm-hmm.
So we may not want to touch that with a 10-foot pole, but we could at least have a conversation privately about it and see if we want to bring it to our listeners, because it is not our heart to be a part of the triangulation. We know we're human and we fail.
Yeah.
But I don't know, Cher, what would it be like if we brought that to the light to say, this is what triangulation looks like in an organization. And I'll say, and we've probably all been a part of that in some way, where we don't go directly to the person. We go to the upper echelon and we're being talked about instead of talked to.
Sounds like a good place to explore.
Okay. Sounds good, friend. So good to be with you. And I love you so much.
You too, Candace. And likewise, I love you so much.
Thank you for listening to Processing Trauma Out Loud. Make sure to check out the show notes for links to suggested resources and social media. Like, subscribe, and follow to keep up with our weekly content. And if you don't mind, take a moment to rate and review us. Your feedback is extremely valuable and contributes to the success of this podcast. One last thing. If you have found this podcast helpful in any way, or if you have questions on how to take the next steps on your healing journey, please reach out to us via email at candaceshare@gmail.com. That's candaceshare@gmail.com. Our sound engineer is Jeremiah Jones of Auditstory LLC. We welcome you to join us for more conversations soon. Take care.